Okay, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, my ears work.
My eyes see.
And my heart understands.
That this message is for me.
Hallelujah.
I'm
going to share with you what came in at 6:30 yesterday morning. And I started off by writing down that I am blessed and loved of my Father. He has unfolded some great information through Mary Jo yesterday at church. When the word shortly came, I thought, and I'm not going to give you the date that I got, but I did get a date. In the earth and in that season, the Lord Jesus be glorified for that timing. And here was his response to the vision. It was Galatians 4:19. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Now you say, why? Well, Christ means the word anointing. So until the anointing is formed in us, St. Paul kept praying. Has he stopped?
No.
If you recall, I shared with you that Sunday night, I watched the movie about St. Paul, and I was told at 7:30 on Monday morning to turn on my television. And guess what? It was the same story. So I got double dose of St. Paul interceding. I got a double dose of memory, because one of the things that caused me to start obeying the Holy Spirit in recognizing all three of the Jewish feasts, which are the Lord's feasts. All of this is wrapped up in his adjusting me from what I was to what he needed me for. I can see it now, but at the time that this was happening in 1985, I would have told you, you're out of your tree, doesn't make sense, it's not logical, please get a different plan, Lord. But he didn't listen to me. He listened to his own plan and unfolding it a little bit at a time. So, again, I want you to just close your eyes right now and say, the words of Paul,
are also my words.
That my children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in them,
as he is formed in me.
Amen? You say, I ain't got no kids. Well, you will. Maybe they're physical ones, maybe they're spiritual ones. Maybe, just maybe, he may allow you to have some children later on and to love them and to intercede for them and to pray for them. Because that's what Paul's commission was, and you're all anointed for that same message. Nothing different. The next one is John 14:20. John 14:20. I am in you and you are in me.
Whoa.
I am in you and you are in me. When you realize that Jesus is alive inside of each and every one of us by his Spirit, then you see the unity and the harmony of his Spirit being in the earth, developing the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven cannot be operating without a king on the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And the king is resident inside of?
Us.
Yeah. No kidding. So if he's inside of us as kings, we have authority and our mouth is very, very powerful.
Whoa. Amen.
Yeah. And it can be used by darkness or by light.
Amen.
So I am in you and you are in me. And it goes on. So I'm not going to go in. Now I want you to go to John 17, verse 23. Because this is the part that I believe he's working on in the house of prayer. I in them, you in me, brought to complete unity. I in them, you in me, what?
Brought
to complete unity. So you mean the opinion of my neighbor is going to have value to me?
Yes.
Yeah. Every single person that comes to the Lord has an open door to their opinion, and it should be respected. Now, does that mean that everybody's going to be the same kind of preacher? No. What it is saying is, you'll have a confirming voice inside your heart. I'm at the right place at the right time with the right results. And when you see the fruit, you're going to know that it was God who directed the whole process. I was talking to someone yesterday and they were on a roll trying to do something that didn't work the first time. And they wanted advice and I really didn't want to give advice. So we talked about the potential of doing the same mistake twice and hoping for different results. And guess what? We both came to the conclusion, maybe it wouldn't be a bright idea to make the same mistake twice, right? So maybe we should give it to the Lord and let him do the surgery that was needed instead of us trying to do the repair work that somebody doesn't want to have repaired. Because if I think I'm perfect and you're praying for me to become more perfect, whoops, we're going to have a challenge, right? Right. So, bringing to complete unity is also going to mean that all of us, at some point or other, are going to have to adjust. And there may be times where you look at St. Paul, who wants to go in Asia, and he's sending him in the opposite direction, which is west. Paul is insisting he wants to go, and the Lord finally gives him a vision of a man who's in the west needing him. Oh, you mean visions can give you direction? Yes. Dreams. Anybody remember Joseph getting a dream? Get this girl out of town now. Right? Mm-hmm. Then get the baby out of the country because there's somebody that wants him dead. And all the children from 2 years under were killed. So are dreams important?
Yes.
Yes. Can they come from heaven?
Absolutely.
Yes. Can they come from darkness?
Absolutely.
Why? Because the darkness is also going to try to interfere, including a bad piece of pizza. That might also bring interference. So think about when you get something from the Lord, wait for it to be confirmed 2 or 3 times as a safety factor. Sometimes you can move right away, but other times it's going to be, ooh, I wonder where it's coming from. And it's okay, either one. Wait upon the Lord. Ask him to confirm. Romans 8:10 confirms, I in them and you in me brought to unity. Galatians 2:20 is very, very powerful.
Amen.
Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Why are you two giggling?
I gave her that scripture the other day.
Ah, okay.
I've been saying it every morning.
Every morning.
Yes.
Well, I guess the Holy Ghost is on the job, huh?
He is.
He's confirming stuff.
Yep.
Now, how many of you like the idea that I am being crucified? You saw the nails on the altar today. They're not very becoming. Not attractive to look at. But being crucified with Christ, it is no longer you and me that making all the decisions. But in submission to Him, you're going to find that the dead in Christ will rise first. And the dead in Christ are those who have been crucified, because that's the only way to get there. Monday, wanted to call John because it kept coming in. Those who who listen and obey and allow the dying process will rise first. Okay, Lord, I got it. No, he says, you're still not getting it. You're still thick. That may be that donkey there that you talked about. Ephesians 3. 17. Ephesians 3:17. That one I want to go to because there's so much involved. So we're going to the book of Ephesians. I thought I had a marker there, but I guess I don't. So Ephesians 3:17. Are you there with me? Uh-huh. Okay. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Let's back up to 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That is your spirit being. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, meaning you're not going to find fault with everybody, because love hardly notices when they do it wrong. Oops. That I hit a brick wall right there. Close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I need to learn how to love.
I need to learn how to love.
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
Because when I judge.
And I condemn,
it bounces right back,
and hits me.
And I don't want that.
So
I'm choosing right now to love
unconditionally.
If they do it wrong,
it's
going to
be their problem,
not mine. I can sit back.
Intercede for them
until they get the victory. And I'll be like Paul,
interceding for them
until they have the victory. It might take a few months.
Might take a few days.
Depends on how stubborn they are. Okay, go. Are you ready? Can you take the next one? Being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, corporate, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, the love of the Anointed One. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Whoa! You mean I can be like the container, Christ Himself? Yes. The fullness of the Father was poured into the Son on the mountain of transfiguration. Think about it. If he did that to his firstborn son, is he going to do that to you and me?
Yes.
That's up to you. If you said yes, it's your decision. If you say, ha-ha, it's only for the holy ones, then you might be full of holes. The holy ones are those that have accepted Jesus and received his grace and favor, and you can be filled with the fullness of God down the road. It's procedural. You say, well, wait a minute. Is he going to dump it all on me like he did his son? He didn't dump it all on him in one shot. Think about it. When he went into the river to be baptized, he received the Holy Spirit. Then he went into the desert where he died to himself. And he got tempted and passed the test. Oh, I don't know if I like passing a test. I got news for you. Not like your teachers in grade school or high school or college. You'll take the test as many times as necessary until you do pass.
Yep.
Amen.
He's tenacious, not stubborn. He's tenacious. He'll stay on your case because he loves you.
Amen.
And if you go around the mountain again and again and again,
get a rut. Get a rut.
Wear the mountain down.
I want you to be aware that his job is not to give up on us. And our job is to say, okay, keep on going even if it hurts.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, there are times that it will be painful.
Yes, amen.
You know why? Because he's wanting us to submit. Humble yourself, James 4. Submit to the Lord. Allow him to let stuff fall off of you. Because some of it is deadly. Some of the stuff that we hold on to is really a poison potion. And we hold on to it because we think we can't live our lives without it.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm not trying to accuse anybody. I know, because I've had some of that crap. And it is crap. It may not be godly to say the word, but I've got news for you. Every single one of us has stuff that needs to go. And I'm the first to say, sometimes I see myself and I say, oh my God, not more, one more round in this. And the Lord says, but aren't you getting better? And then he gives me a snap vision of where I used to be. And I see the gain and I see the victories. And I say, well, and Joyce Myers taught me this.
Amen.
I'm not where I used to be.
But I'm sure glad I'm not where I used to be.
Amen. But I am getting better every day. Close your eyes right now. Say, I'm not where I used to be.
I'm not where I used to be.
But by God's grace.
But by God's grace.
I'm getting better.
I'm getting better.
And less and less of me.
And less and less of me.
And more and more of him.
And more and more of him.
Until the fullness, of the Father, can be poured into me, and then I will have put on life, and death will be no more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I trust you, Lord.
Yes, I trust you, Lord.
Don't give up on me.
Don't give up on me.
Amen. Father, I thank you now that this word be sealed into their hearts by your Holy Spirit. And confirm this word so that they will know that there is a plan in the heavens for you. And for them, each one of them. And for all those that we've lifted up before you tonight, we just thank you that you will just bless them. Those that have been abusive to us, those that have talked about us behind our back, we just set them free tonight. And we purpose to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I understand that Sunday is Fellowship Sunday. Is that correct?
It is correct.
Yeah, I was reminded on Sunday. And so just keep that in mind, and we'll see you on Sunday morning.
I'm really thankful you all of y'all just helped me out.